This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Oh, it's a cruel, cruel game, isn't it? Cardiff 2, Ipswich 1. Welcome to the Blue Monday podcast. Craig, you were in the stadium yesterday. I want to take you back to Tim Close's goal for Norwich. No one wants to talk about that. It's the only thing I can remember. This was the days when I would take notes at games for my in-car reviews. And he headed that ball in, and I took my pad, and I went like that, and I held it there for a good 10 seconds because I did not want to see that football stadium at that point celebrating that goal. Take me into the Cardiff City Stadium in minute 100 quickly, Craig.
Yeah, there was certainly an element of that from me. I was just looking front and centre. I was not looking left and I was not looking right because the Ipswich fans had been giving the Cardiff fans the full treatment from the moment that Kiefer Moore had scored. And as the minutes ticked down and ticked down, they were getting obviously more and more grief and more people were leaving. There was a fair few Cardiff fans who didn't see the equaliser, let alone the winner. But yeah, as soon as that one went in, I had my Newmarket horse blinkers on, and I was just looking straight ahead. I was not looking towards the home fans, no.
Dave, I remember your reaction to that Tim Close goal. You said the same word twice, but you enunciated different. You enunciated differently. You went, Ben, sickener. Sickener.
Yeah, it was like, I must admit, about in 100-minute round here yesterday, it was like a Tourette's convention, mate. I tell you. There was frequent use of that C word as well, but the real one I've got now. It was a tough one to take, but I think we probably brought it on ourselves, which of course we'll get to shortly, no doubt.
And of course, Dave and I on the Blue Monday podcast. See, we're not making light of anybody that got Tourette's. That is a lovely light-hearted
Of course. Sorry.
Before anyone gets their cancelled.
Before anyone jumps right now. Absolutely. Absolutely okay. Right. But no, this is what we're used to, Ben, isn't it? We're not used to all this, me and you. You know, I'm not saying in the last couple of seasons, maybe, but me and you going back, six, seven seasons, sort of used to despair, aren't we? Despair and snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. So we should be fine to talk about this tonight.
I don't want to lay blame at anyone's door, but I don't know if you guys heard Seb and Mikey on the post-match on Tuesday where they were besmirching the memory of the 91-92 promotion team who'd also won six games in a row. And obviously we were looking to beat that particular record on Saturday. So, you know, it's like some Native American burial ground. You know, you start poking things, horrible things happen. That's all I'm going to say. So if you want to blame anyone.
Yep. Yep. That's it.
Well, there you go. That's the podcast sorted. We've laid the blame already. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Blue Monday podcast. We are here live on YouTube. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. if you're listening after the fact, we appreciate the hell out of you. Please give us a 5-star review and think upon this as a bit of a therapy session. We are live. The chat is going. Our football teams can become a surrogate for our own personalities at times, and disappointment is hard for all of us to cope with. So if you are in the live chat right now, your freedom of speech rights remain over here. If you want to be angry and lash out, you can. Don't know how much it's going to help. If you want to be toxically negative, you can. Don't know how much it's going to help. You want to be toxically positive. If you're a fan of a rival team and you're here on the wind-up as well,
Bring it on. You can
do that if you want, but it is our job here to explain or try and get to the bottom of how this happened, and we'll leave the emotions to the chat, but you can get your questions in segment 4 of this show. Did I toe the line there, Craig, of not too patronising but firm enough?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're far too fair on opposing teams' fans, but we'll see how that goes.
Oh, they'll be in later. Don't you worry about that. Right. Oh, there's too many buttons down the bottom here. We've got to sort this out. There we go. That was the one I wanted, Dave, wasn't it? There is your Ipswich Town team, Mr. Diamond. Hladke in goal. The return of Clark at right back. Wolfenden, Burgess at centre back. Leif Davis, left back. It is the first choice central midfield of Mossy and Luongo. Wes Burns is in the starting lineup. So is Connor Chaplin. So, interestingly, Dave, is Jeremy Sarmiento. And Kiefer Moore returns to his former club, Cardiff City. Any thoughts on the starting 11, David?
No, not really. We perhaps all thought that Clark would be back this game for Twanzebe. I think the biggest, perhaps, slight surprise, is the start for Sarmiento there. He hasn't been, look, this with hindsight, he perhaps hasn't been the best of starters for us this season, and has perhaps made a little bit more impact coming off the bench, but obviously there was a plan there. So, pleased to see Burns back, and obviously Broadhead back on the bench, which was good. So, yeah, I don't have any great problems with that. But for me, I think Sarmiento, a slight surprise maybe as a start.
Greg?
Yeah, it's quite interesting, isn't it, that the last match he started was the Plymouth away game, wasn't it? So he didn't start the home game, but yeah, he starts the last two away games, which is an interesting one. And it's not as if, I don't think he did particularly much in the, well, I mean, he won the flick on, to be fair, to Leif Davis for the winner, didn't he? So maybe he was in for that. Luongo playing, he didn't pull up many trees against Bristol City during the week, but he's very much, if he's fit, he plays. He certainly starts, doesn't he? He's, as you said, Ben, he's the starting midfield two. And then Clark for Twanzebe. Again, Twanzebe played 2 games in four days, so maybe they're just nursing him. It'll just be interesting to see with a week off who starts next weekend against Sheffield Wednesday, I suppose, out of those two.
Very much so. Here's this Cardiff team. We'll go to you, Craig, first. Ethan Horvath in goal, who was promoted with Forest in 21-22. Perry and G, Cardiff's top goal scorer, who's an absolute bloody nuisance on them, their set plays, isn't he? Is it Josh? I mean, Josh Wilson, S. Brand, who's on loan from Manchester City. I'm going to use one of Dave's words here, Craig, robust head-it-kick-it central defensive pair of Gutas and Phillips, who are going to have a fun time with Kiefer Moore for at least 79 minutes of this game. Siopsis, the other Greek lad who came in the summer, and Wintle in central midfield. Carlin Grant, good pedigree, certainly in his time at Huddersfield at this level. Josh Bowler, very good for Blackpool a couple of seasons back. Dave Turnbull is a new one on me. He came in during the window. And we all know about Yaku Maite, who has punished us before for Reading. I think what you can see I'm getting at here, Craig, 3 wins in a row, and we're playing away here at a very sturdy team with a real good smattering of championship quality.
Yeah, sturdy is probably the right word there, Ben, to be honest. So, as you say, once you look at their two centre-halves, and certainly Maite up front, who gave our centre-halves themselves a bit of a torrid time first half, especially he was putting himself about a fair bit. Siopis, I think we can class as diminutive, I think is the term we're allowed to use.
That.
The politically correct term we're allowed to use. He's a tiny little fish, smaller than Chaplin, and both Chaplin and Morsy. Morsy was towering over him and looking like twice as wide as well. So, but yeah, he certainly put himself about as well. He wasn't shy of getting stuck in. So, yeah, as you say, a good solid spine to the team. I was very impressed with Wilson as Brand, actually.
He was.
They were doubling up on poor old Harry Clark. Him and Colin Grant were doubling up on him, certainly in the first half.
And Craig Mate would go and join in as well, wouldn't he?
Yeah, yeah. That was right in our corner as well, where we were in the first half. So, yeah, a bit of a torrid time for Harry Clark in the first half. So, yeah, no, as you say, and their recent results probably just shows that they weren't, you know, they were team in form, certainly at home.
Do you agree with that assessment of the team, Dave? And if you add into the mix, Errol Baloot seems to be, he's not quite on Corberon's level, but he's very high on team shape, good on set plays. It's a similar challenge that you face. I don't think he's as good as Corberon, but do you take my point?
Yeah, I do. It's an interesting one, actually, with me today, because as you said, we've seen him play and he's caused us problems before. He actually caused us problems in the home game. And I think they were winning 2-0 and took him off and they just couldn't get up the pitch after that. And that's what really one of the reasons I think we came back to win that home game. And yeah, perhaps slightly surprised that he was in for Jeju, who scored the winner in midweek. So yeah, very much seemingly a tactical thing. And you're right, he's a physical specimen. I've always quite liked him, actually.
I like him.
Those Reading goals apart, he's a physical specimen and certainly kept up centre backs occupied. And as you quite rightly said, yeah, a lot of half decent championship experience in that team, with a couple of uncompromising centre halves, I would say.
well we'll talk about, because it's one of those weird ones. We'll get to it when we get to Kiefer Moore's goal. I thought they played him really well, but then he scores. And it's like, well, you had one job, lads, and yeah, there you go. Anyway, Craig, let me talk to you about the first half. My take on it was, I thought Cardiff were quite significantly on top for the first 10 to 15 minutes. And then I thought there was precious little in it for the rest. I didn't think we were very good in the first half, Craig. What were your thoughts?
No, pretty much agree. As you say, the first 10 minutes or so, they had a lot of set pieces around our goal. Perry and G should probably have scored after about 5 or 6 minutes, shouldn't he? That was a flaky, had made a good save. But he probably came to him a little bit too quickly, didn't it? About 3 or 4 yards out for him to get his feet in the right place, and it sort of hit his shin and went wide. But as we just said about Clark, they were 2-on-1, if not 3-on-2, when Wes Burns did come back to cover. So that was obviously a ploy. What they also did very well in terms of stifling us was they pretty much cut down our passing lanes through to both Leif Davis.
That's exactly and Wes, what Bristol City did, Craig, and as well, Wes Burns.
Yeah, exactly. But they, and it was sort of pretty much not a mirror image, but very similar tactics. We just could not get a foot on the wall, get any of our passing play going. And then we saw, as we tend to do now, the Cowley brother tactic of setting your watch to about 17, 18 minutes for Connor Chaplin to sit on the floor and wave at the ref. And everyone else disappears over to the halfway line for a drink and a debrief. And from then on, we sort of got more control. But again, we created very, very little in that first half. So we didn't get it wide. Sarmiento was pretty ineffective. He wasn't getting on the ball very much. And when he was sort of giving it away. The ball was bouncing off of Moore. He was trying to flick it first time rather than controlling it and laying it off. Maybe because he had two lumbering centre-halves right up his backside a lot of the time. But I say, we're just pretty ineffective. We were in control without creating anything of any significance. And the better chances certainly fell for Cardiff in that first half, I would say.
Dave, before you give your take, can I just give you, I'll give you the first half numbers just to see if it matches up with your eye test, which I'm sure it will. 56-44 in our favour on possession. Cardiff had 10 shots in the first half, 1.13 on the XG, 0.37 to us. They had 4 shots to our 1 on target. And if you look on the left there, I've highlighted Perry NG's chance, which we all know a penalty, a free shot at goal is 0.77, and it's come up as 0.77 there, Dave. Do you, what's your sort of take on the first half and what Craig and I
No, I think they speak for themselves. It wasn't the best first half for the neutral. It certainly wasn't the best sort of viewing for the first half, was it? We had one sort of half chance, one good move where we did actually free Burns, and he got in a good ball and a bit of an airy fairy sort of flash type near post finish by Moore, where I think Hinchcliffe said on Sky that perhaps he could have got around that and got his right foot on it and tried to whack it in the near post.
But that's a great cross that day, wasn't it?
That was a hell of a ball in.
He's never keeping that in. Yeah.
Yeah, whether he, again, as Craig said, mind you, he was in the penalty box, he perhaps would have wanted the centre half to be touch tight there. But yeah, just didn't really do anything with it. It just really wasn't, as Craig said, Sarmiento was a bit in and out. The ball wasn't sticking to Moore. But I'm surprised, did they really have 10 shots? I'm surprised they had 10 shots.
There was some scrambly stuff, Dave. Yeah, remember,
Turnbull had that good one early off, didn't he?
Great swerved, strike. That's good save,
hell of
though,
a strike. Yeah. And just one note I did make, that the NG chance from the bowler volley, which he saved, who cleared that out of the six-yard box? Kiefer Moore, but more of that later on.
I know where you'll go with that then.
Look, okay. But... he had a fairly non-discussion. I felt watching it that as more as the half went on, we started again, as recent perhaps away match, we started again to get a bit perhaps more control, without creating anything, but perhaps a bit more control of it leading up to half-time.
Yeah, we definitely did. Last quarter of an hour or so, we'd say we certainly had more possession. There was a couple of, as you say, about the Burns chance, it was literally once or twice Clark managed to like slide him inside the fullback to get that cross in, but you know, you could count on the fingers of one hand how often we did that for him and Leif Davis combined.
Yeah, other side, yeah.
Yeah. Second half, much better, I think, Craig. And I don't know what was sort of said at half time. No kind of changes in personnel. But what was different?
I don't know. I think very similar to last week. Joe mentioned it, that we sort of started the second half a couple of yards. Everyone just seemed to be a couple of yards further up the pitch. And as a result, we were playing a little bit more in their final third, last 40 yards of the pitch, rather than the middle third of the pitch, which we were in the last knockings of the first half. So we sort of maybe carried on that little bit of momentum we had in at the tail end of the first half into the second half. But again, without really creating too many clear-cut chances, I think the first shot on target we had was about the 70th minute-ish, when Morsey had the ball about 20 yards out and just had a shot, which was pretty much straight at the goalkeeper. But that was our first shot on target in the second half. And I think soon after, Hutchison had his curling effort, which was tip wide. So we were starting to just build up a little bit of pressure, a little bit of momentum. And to be fair, Cardiff at this stage were offering very, very little. You know, we had nullified them, and it was the game was pretty much being played out in the Cardiff half.
Dave?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It was being played out in the Cardiff half, but in front of them generally, wasn't it? All in front of them, you know, a lot of possession. But yeah, not really hurting them. Yeah, good effort from Hutchison, you know, the one created where he drops his shoulder. Great strike, doesn't quite get it in the corner. You'd expect keeper to save that. But other than that, and as Craig said, the Morsey shot with a keeper, yeah, routine. There really wasn't much going on. And at that stage, and then of course, what, 74 is it? Or earlier than that, is it? 64. We make the first substitutions.
Well, let's rattle through all of these, because Town obviously bring in Broadhead and Hutchison. You mentioned the Hutchison shot. Callum O'Dowd, and more from him later, comes in. And Reuben Colwell, I wanted to mention him because it felt like Cardiff had no real attacking plan other than, okay, I think Colwell had been told, dribble, cross every time you get it. You're allowed to give the ball away if you want to stick it in the box every time you get it. I think that's what he'd been told. Jack Taylor came in for Luongo and Harness in for Burns. Few comments, Craig, in the chat that I probably agree with. But Luongo's a bit quiet, wasn't he?
Yeah, he went for the second game in a row, really. I think one of the comments is her asked about if he's still getting over his illness. But you would have thought that if he wasn't over his illness, he wouldn't be starting and playing 60-odd minutes of a championship match twice in the space of how many days it's since Tuesday. But yeah, he was quiet. I thought he was quiet on Tuesday, which was somewhat compensated by Morsey doing two or three men's work beside him on Tuesday night against Bristol. but he didn't have, you know, what I found certainly in the first half is that Luongo was taking maybe one, two touches more than he needed to, and he was very safe with the ball. And as a result, maybe that was why we weren't getting further up the pitch, and you know, he wasn't sliding anything into Davis to attack. But then, I don't know. As we say, he's so integral to the way that we play, and we know that he dovetails so well with Morsy that it's just unfortunate that we don't currently see anyone really pushing him to take over his place, even if he's not 100% fit.
Let's go up to the goal then, Dave. And I thought Gutas and Phillips had a very definitive plan against Kiefer Moore, where there are a few times where they smashed him and they were 5 metres inside the other half. I was quite impressed with it, actually. I don't think they crossed the line too much in terms of physicality. They played him right on the front foot, but they let him go for this one. And I did get a bit animated on my on the watch along we were doing. No deflection on that one. Bloody clean strike into the corner, wasn't it?
I think for the context also of how the match played out, we should also mention Moore's injury, which was a head injury, quite early on, 53, something like that, 54. Yeah. And yeah, look, it was a good 5 minutes, was it? He was down for a while then. Obviously, he had the old, I call it the John Weil bandage. Don't know if it'll mean much to you there, Ben. But
He still looked quite handsome in it as well, didn't he?
There you go. Although John Wiles was obviously white and full of blood, this was black, so all a bit disappointing, really. But so I think we should mention that. But no, I mean, it comes from, we're not really looking threatening particularly. And to be fair, I don't know about you, I thought, yeah, this game could disappoint them, but this game could just peter out to a goalless draw, to be fair, just one of those. And it's a clearance from them. I think Horvath clears it, punts it downfield. It's a good win, as he did for most of the game through Burgess. And it's really good from Taylor. Taylor lands on it, drives forward. It's a really proper, not an airy-fairy pass, proper ball into Harness's feet. Harness has found a really good position off his man. Good touch, gets it out of his feet. Lovely sort of ball, perfectly paced ball for Moore. And then it's really good because Moore just lets it runs across him, opens up the angle slightly and just absolutely hammers it in the far. It's a great finish, I think. And on Sky, they were saying, oh, it's a keeper at fault there. No chance. The ball's curling. The ball's curling. Well, then, you know, at first blush, looking at it, the ball's sort of curling away in the far corner. It is a fantastic finish. A la, who can we compare that to? I don't know, one of Gareth Bale's against Inter Milan that night sort of thing. That sort of finish. It's a great finish across
the
keeper.
Ian Rush one where he breaks the camera in the
cup final, in the cup final, that one, of course. Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those. It's an absolute beautiful finish. And you think, here we go again. What's this, 79, 80 minutes? Here we go. Albeit that given the Moore injury and the amount of substitutions going on, you knew there was going to be a fair amount of time added on. But yeah, great, great finish.
Craig, if you lined up all of Kiefer Moore's goals so far, there'd be beautiful diversity in that little clip, wouldn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. Probably doing the guy a disservice by saying it's not a typical Kiefer Moore goal. You probably think his first one in Preston was more a textbook Kiefer Moore goal. But what was quite nice about it was the fact that Harness's ball wasn't as if it was slipped alongside him for him to run onto to have a strike. It was played into his foot, and Kiefer Moore still had a fair bit of work to do to sort of stand up his marker and take it past him. And then, you know, such a clean strike, isn't it, into the far corner. So it's a great goal. Yeah, that's right. And as Dave said there about the game sort of petering out to 0-0, it's funny, like midway through the second half, I said to Oscar, my boy who's with me, this is just one of those, it just looked for all intents and purposes, one of those games whereby we haven't played very well, we're going to get a point here. It's just one of those games whereby you just stick your point in your back pocket and you head back and say, look, we didn't play very well, but it's another point to add to the total. I think most people would probably have taken it at that point because neither team looked particularly threatening and you couldn't see one goal coming, let alone three.
Steve in the chat says, can we stop the show here? I would be an advocate of that. We can go on and talk about the Sheffield Wednesday game.
Craig will get his Popmaster book out.
We can do that. Dave already mentioned the concussion protocol that Kiefer Moore and Gutas had earlier in the half. Jeju comes on. So they do stick an extra striker on, although Maite had gone off at that point, hadn't he? So the substitute you're alluding to is Al Hamadi in for Kiefer Moore. And Davis, hindsight is lovely, isn't it, when you know that two goals have been conceded from crosses into the box. And obviously, to most of us, Kieran McKenna has near godlike status. But if he had his time over, do you think he's making that sub?
Look, it's a difficult one because, look, the first spoiler alert, the equalising goal is just not going to be there. But it's the winning goal, isn't it? It's the corner where you know he's going to be positioned somewhere. Okay, he was in zonal mark and he's 6 foot five, for God's sake. So he's going to be there somewhere in the mix, as he was for the NG chance first half. And you say hindsight. I heard McKenna's interview afterwards and he said, and he basically said he had to come off, which was an odd one, on sort of 90 minutes. It was quite, I thought that was okay.
That's just messaging though, Dave.
Of course it is. The games that, look, we've been, well, look, all this season, we've been really, really good at managing, at sort of seeing, yeah, they've been near misses, of course they are, but we've been really, really pretty good at seeing games out, haven't we? And Mike's just commented on the comments there. Yeah, he may well have been actually out on his feet. However, he's still a presence in our penalty box, isn't he? And again, I can see it that if he was, sort of say, really out on his feet, you know, he's not going to be, and perhaps going forward, he's not really going to be a useful out. Well, maybe he is just by his presence, but he's not going to be the best. He's not going to chase out balls, is he? So, yeah, it's a catch 22, that one. And as you said, Ben, hindsight's a wonderful thing.
Craig, it's very easy now for us to disappear up our own backsides and go all technical and all tactical about this stoppage time. But it's far more simplistic, I think, than people make it. The home team is a goal down. They have no choice other than to stick a few balls in the box and make a few attacking subs. And as much as people like to talk only about tangible and definitive statistics in football because that's more comfortable for them, there is such thing as momentum and there is such thing as I can see where this is going, isn't there? What were your thoughts in the stadium, and talk us about the equaliser on 94?
Yeah, well, it's just quickly going back to Kiefer Moore. He was dead on his feet. You know, he had run his race on 90. And as Dave says, I can't see he would have been of much use being up front because he wouldn't have been able to make the balls that we were pretty aimlessly whacking up the pitch at this point. You know, poor old Al Hamidi, it's not as if we were playing to his positive aspects either. We were literally just whacking it clear at some stages, which led to the equaliser, as it goes. But even before that, O'Dowda had a chance at the back post, which he probably should have scored from. That was about 92, 93 minutes. And you thought then, oh, hang on a second. We've still got another 5, 6, 7 minutes to go here.
Didn't it, Craig?
Yeah, it did. It just felt a little bit out of control, a little bit chaotic, which isn't, as you said before, Ben, which isn't what we're used to, what we expect of this team, because we just could not get out of our last 20 yards, 30 yards. Could we really? The balls kept coming back, and the equaliser came from, I think it was the point when Hutchison made a good tackle right on our byline, got back and tackled, and Clark just smacks it clear up our right hand channel, and Cardiff control it, get it over to their right. And then even then, it looks like we had it covered. There's Harnesses over there, Davis is over there, and Taylor's over there. And they've all got their man. But then Taylor momentarily loses his man and ends up being 5, 6 yards behind him when the cross then comes in. Colwell, isn't it, makes the run on Taylor, and he can't get back and cover. And then, as the guys mentioned on pre-match, crosses to the far post is a fruitful place for Cardiff. And unfortunately for us, he stands up to the far post. Again, it's probably Clark's man. When the move is starting to formulate, Clark's got his man. By the time the cross has come over, Clark has regressed back to towards the goal line and left his man. And then it looks like it's Hutchison's got the wrong side of the guy. Well, Hutchison wasn't marking him as the cross came in, sort of thing, unfortunately. O'Dowd is free, heads it back into the danger area. It's a sort of a scrappy bumble clearance between Wolverton and Burgess. They get in each other's way. It falls to Wintle, has time to chest it down and slam it past two or three of our players. It's just a horrible, scrappy goal. But then one of those goals, as you say, Ben, it's sort of throw caution to the wind, just get it down the byline, get it in the box, and we'll just create some havoc and see whose foot it lands at. Unfortunately, it landed at theirs.
Dave, Craig is totally right. From the moment Craig in his description there said Clark, you know, clears it back into Cardiff. Yeah, we don't get set, do we? We're in a bad position. We know they're going to shift us to the other side. And again, we can get as technical and tactical as we like, but you're out of position and it's just chaos, isn't it? And go on.
Yeah, it was clever from Cardiff. That Colwell was, as you alluded to earlier, was just given a free roll and told to play anywhere. And we never got to grips with him at all. He was just floating, coming out. So he starts the move himself. He starts the move in centre mid. I think he passes it to NG. I think they exchange passes. And when he starts that run, Colwell, it's kind of Alhamidi's with him. So that's how deep he starts it. And then obviously Alhamidi can see he's passing him on to Taylor. And Craig's quite right. He just runs. Taylor just loses him, just runs. Kind of a couple of players getting between him. He's not, but he just lets him run off him. And at first, when he puts a cross in, I thought, that's okay. One of them loopy crosses. Someone will get, you know, beyond the far post. And to be fair to perhaps Clark a little bit, just falls, just hangs perfectly for O'Dowda between Clark and Hutchison. And they said on comms at the time, good from O'Dowda, really. He could have perhaps gone for glory there, gone for goal himself, or right from an angle, but you see it. But he heads it down into an area, and then it's a shit show, and Wolford and Burgess gets these under the way. And then good from Wintle, and even then, I think it's still perhaps a slight, we can't complain about deflections, I know, but perhaps a slight deflection off Burgess.
No, Dave, we've been getting nonsense all week about deflections. That took a deflection. It happened.
No, it did. I mean, whether it made a great deal, I don't know, you know, but anyway. You think of games Oxford away, perhaps a couple of scenes ago, we absolutely gutted where you go ahead late and you think, right, this is it, 3 points, here we go. And that's enough of a punch in the stomach the 1-1 where, as we quite rightly said, other than that cross 2 minutes earlier to our doubt, they had not laid a glove on a second half until barely got anywhere near our penalty area, you know, half a penalty area. We absolutely were in control. It's one of those games, weirdly, we're in control without ever really being in control, if you know what I mean. It's an odd one. Really odd game. Exactly. But you just couldn't see it. But we know, and they said it on the pre-match, that that's where their danger is. Well, they kept repeating it on Sky, didn't they? How many goals they actually scored from open play. All right, that one was from open play. But, yeah, it was a really bad goal.
Well, there's an old saying, Craig. Things go from bad to worse. Obviously... and I actually, in the cold light of day, don't have a problem with this because I don't like time wasting. And I think there was probably, we knew there was going to be another minute with the goal being scored. Just a bit annoying that that phase of play for the very last corner comes pretty much bang on 99, which is, I'm kind of looking, it's a rule of thumb. Oh, yeah. Add on a minute. It's not written down anywhere. Add on a minute for a goal. Add on a minute for a substitution. Must admit, Craig, there was part of me that thought, you know what this team's like? They'll probably now go and win 2-1. I'll stop the other end. When the ball then comes back down for that corner, I think we're all fearing the worst, aren't we, Craig?
Yeah, but I don't think there was... Well, there may have been complaints elsewhere in the stand, but it's just... But I think Hadkey got booked, and I think that was in the injury time as well, wasn't it? So that had another...
Slightly before Craig. 89, yes.
Yeah, so oh, okay.
Near as yeah.
But it may have been as and when they were sort of working out what the injury time was going to be. But what was quite interesting is that the Hadkey wasn't really taking any longer than normal, and Clark was getting the hurry long for a throw-in where he wasn't taking longer as normal. But because the score line had changed... Then the referee's interpretation of how long it takes to take a throw in or a goal kick sort of seems to change, and it looked like for the goal, again the ball was played down our right hand channel down Leif Davis's side, and he'd managed to get himself in front of Carlin Grant. And you thought, oh, he's defended that really well. You know, he's got his body in the way, and then he falls to the floor. That's how
I wanted it to be a foul, and after eight replays, it wasn't, was it, Craig?
No, it's not. And it's one of those ones, and Connor Chaplin's guilty of it sometimes, where you feel a bit of, you feel some contact from behind, and you go to the floor, don't you? And I think Connor Chaplin did, from memory again, Plymouth away last year may have resulted in one of the goals. And it's not, it's a soft one. You have seen them given, but it would have been a soft one had it been given. And unfortunately for us, we don't defend the corner particularly well. As Dave says, Keith Moore would probably have cleared it had he been on the pitch, but I don't think he could have been on the pitch in the state he was in. So it's swung in, it's bundled, there's a flick, there's an attempted overhead kick, which is missed. It can go absolutely anywhere.
Oh, my God. It's just slow motion, isn't it? It's happening in slow motion. You're just watching it unfold. Oh. Yeah.
You can see it from the far. You can see it from the far end. The ball's come in. It's going backwards. It's going forwards. It's up, and it just falls at O'Dowda's feet, 4 yards out. Good finish, to be fair. Flicked the outside of his left foot, but you know, again, similar to the first goal, it could have landed anywhere. It could have landed at our guy's foot, 4 yards out, to hoof clear, and the ref blows his whistle and we have a point in the bag, but sadly not to be.
Dave, sickener.
Yeah, look, it's good from Grant, I suppose. He's really positive there and driving for the line, but yeah, Davis, yeah, and perhaps there is, as you said, slight contact, but Davis has just got to hook that and he's just hook it out for a throw. Anything, not a corner. You know what they're like. And to rub salt in the wound, they bring like special team. They bring Joe Rules on in the 98th minute, don't they? Just specifically, really. Oh, if we get a corner left foot, that, you know, swing it in, which he bloody well does. It's such a tough one to take. I forced myself to watch the last 10 minutes back a couple of times today.
Why would you do that?
Well, mostly for this, obviously. Top research, Ben, as you know. We're very methodical.
I would have been happy for you to miss that.
Just to
make
sure.
Put your phone on mute and that will do me good.
No, and I think there's a slight break fairly early. This is perhaps maybe just after or before the O'Dowda chance, so not long in the injury time, when we do get the ball wide and it's played, and it looks for a minute like Hutchison might get on the end of it, but he doesn't. And then we just barely get out of a half. We barely string two passes together. And after they equalise for those last 5 minutes, it's just not. We never have control of the football again.
And it's so unlike us, isn't it? The amount of games have we seen that, yeah, we've seen out, you see out the last 8, 10 minutes and realise, not even realise the game's gone that quickly. The minutes just tick by without us being under any pressure.
I still don't know. Harness in between that. So it must be like 2 minutes to go, even minute and a half to go. Harness gets a free kick, and you think, okay, set. So free kick, reset, settle down.
He gives the ball away, doesn't he?
And we give the ball away. And again, it comes from Colwell again, picking it up and spreading it wide. He's just everywhere this time. And that's it. Given the overall narrative of, Christ, you're buzzing. Good God, we got 81 points. Oh my God, we, you know, still going to be ahead of Leeds again. They must be absolutely sick. It's a tough one. That's a tough one to take. But as the comments say, you know, what can you do? You've got to take it, move on. I heard McKenna afterwards. He must have been absolutely seething. But McKenna, being McKenna, was as measured and as concise and measured as ever. But inside, he must have been seething. But
so,
yeah, look.
Craig, once we take the... Because you've got to get over the emotions of it, because it was just a very cruel... and I tried not to react to any of these comments. Oh, blah, 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 you've got late goals or whatever. And I'm sort of sitting there thinking, that's not the smartest thing to say, because I can't think of many games where we've not been in the game until stoppage time and then scored two goals against the run of play from sticking crosses into the box. You know, there's kind of context to this. And, you know, it is what it is. If you're leading a game by one goal, especially when you're away from home, you know the home team's gonna come, don't you? You know they're gonna come, and one goes in and it's chaos, and you're going further and further backwards, and you can lose a game like that. And it's very easy for me to be accused of being, you know, biased or deluded or whatever, saying that's a bit of a freak. That's not happened very often. It'll happen every now and then, won't it? That's my take on it. I'm prepared to be wrong. If it happens again every week afterwards, then fine, whatever. But I think if we'd have taken all 3 points, Craig, it would have been, God, this side just knows how to win. They didn't play very well and they got the job done. If we'd have taken a point, fine, winning streak's over, move on. the defeat did feel a bit unlucky, but you know, you try and take it with good grace and humility. What's your thoughts, Craig?
Yeah, well, as I said about the midway through the second half, saying, you know, well, let's just take the point here, you know, nothing's happening, let's take the point. And then once you score, you're right, you think, bloody hell's bells, how have they managed this? This is just one of those, they're just a winning machine now, you know, they're just finding ways to win games when they're not playing particularly well. You know, we've seen that we can score goals, we can, you know, outscore teams, albeit letting in a lot of goals ourselves, but this was slightly different in that we hadn't played well. As Dave said, we'd huffed and puffed in front of them for the majority of the second half, got a good goal, and you think, well, this is it, we're going to see it out now. It's just the way it transpired. It had obviously had very large echoes of Halloween a couple of years ago, didn't it, at the Valley, which unfortunately I was there for as well. So, and you just hope it doesn't open up any old scars, because there's a fair few of those players that were there that day that are also playing on Saturday. So again, as ever, it's how they respond, and we have no reason to think that this team won't respond in exactly the way it's responded to any pitfalls they've suffered so far.
Yeah.
Dave?
Yeah. It's yeah, we're speechless. So you can't
just
react.
Say sick in a twice, Dave. Well, no, I'm not. Slightly differently the second
time. I'm deliberately not going to say that. But yeah, you know, we went ahead, and this is the frustrating thing about it all. We had control of the game. We went ahead, and we are in control of that game. There's no doubt about that. And in commentary, they said, oh, well, Cardiff, yeah, well, you know, to keep their winning run going, they really got to take some risks now. And you think, yeah, okay, we could go on and score two or three here, but we just stopped. And like I said, for those last 10 minutes, we just invited it on, unfortunately.
It's just strange because, you know, if they did say we can go and score two and three, we didn't look like scoring one did we? No. Let alone two or three. Just really, as you said right at the very beginning, Dave, just a really strange game, really strange performance. Regardless of the result, had we won 1-0, it would still have been a strange result and a strange performance.
After 90 minutes, the basics just went out the window. We just lost basics. And as Ben said, the game was like them playing at 100 miles an hour, and it just ran away, just got away from us.
We definitely play, we say this a lot on here, we play stoppage time on their terms in a manner that completely suited what they wanted to do. And
we just didn't get control.
Go figure what happened. Guys, we are going to go on, have a little look at the Championship weekend, and then we want your questions. So get them prepped and ready. But first, David, a word from our sponsors at Innovation Labs.
Innovation Labs, providing co-working and innovation hubs across East Anglia. We're the perfect place for remote workers, freelancers, startups, or innovators to do business. Our unique member network creates extensive business development and collaboration opportunities. Hot desks are available from £20 a day or £99 per month, with business coaching also available from £50. Innovation Labs, turning your ideas into multi-million pound businesses. Located in Stowmarket, Ipswich, Sudbury, with new sites in Thetford, Norwich and Kuala Lumpur opening soon.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You win. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Right, get your questions in, guys. We're going to go to that after we've had a look at the championship. First, I just need to say ITFC women defeated. What a great weekend, everyone. League leaders, Pompey 4-2.
Oh, no.
But you can get to the game for the ladies, the girls, at Portman Road on 23rd of March. Tickets now on sale. We will be live. You're going to have a few days to cool off now. Be live on Thursday for the Sheffield Wednesday pre-match with Seb and Rich. We will get Dave and Craig's take on that in a little bit in short form on this here show. This weekend in the Championship, Leeds won their 11th game out of 12 at our opponents next week, Sheffield Wednesday. Leeds United, with Leicester playing in the FA Cup next week, will go top of the Championship if they win their home game against in-form Millwall on Sunday. Blackburn 1, Plymouth 1, Hull 2, Leicester 2. Leicester, 4 points in their last 5 games. Interesting. Millwall 1, Birmingham 0. New manager bounced. I know I don't believe in it, but maybe I do. Norwich 5, Rotherham 0. Preston 1, Stoke 2. Huge win for Stoke. And big defeat for Preston in the playoff race. QPR 0, Middlesbrough 2. The Championship is weird. Southampton 4, Sunderland 2. Watford 1, Coventry 2. Big Val Ishmael out, announced late last night. Huddersfield 1, West Brom 4 this afternoon. I'm sure Dave will talk off air about their winger, Mikey Johnston, who is just great fun at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah.
Bristol City 1, Swansea 0. Guys, I'm sure we're going to get asked about all of this stuff in the chat. So, Craig, just give me a quick quick 1-2-3 on the Championship weekend.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm going to talk about the bottom of the table, actually, because that seems to be an absolute...
riveting.
Oh, isn't it? I'll ask you a couple of questions, Ben, if you don't mind. Birmingham, is Mark Venus going to get Birmingham relegated?
I hope not. They've got 2 home games, Craig, this week. They play Middlesbrough in a spare game on Tuesday. Then they play Watford at home. Ooh. But, yeah, there's all sorts of other things trending in a different direction than Birmingham are at the moment. And how would Knighthead Capital look, taking out John Eustace and bringing in Wayne Rooney and then getting rid of, oh, my God.
Yeah, but then to be fair, yeah, they've suffered, haven't they, from poor old Mogger. Mogger's illness as well, you know, they made a very, very sensible, very important position, you know, gave him the manager's job. And then, as luck would have it, he's had to step aside. So, yeah, same, the pressure that poor old Vina must be on there must be pretty. And also Sunderland, what's happening? Are they just like literally thrown in the towel for the last?
Yeah, no Clark, no manager.
No, exactly. Just haven't appointed a manager. Oh, right, we'll just give up on this season, shall we? And just let it drift until the summer.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
Yeah. Really, really poor. Dave, anything to add? Dave, I can see a few questions about the top four in the chat. So I don't know if you want to speak about the playoff race and who may not be in place.
As it stands now, if the season ends tonight, heaven forbid it does, we all know what the one semi-final is. So, well, we know what both semi-finals are, sorry. But yeah, the one significant to us would be, they're coming with a good late run. Brushed Rotherham aside yesterday, I've got
Why
to say.
Why Rotherham so good against us?
Yeah, I'm not sure what that says. one or two very good goals in that game. I won't dwell on them, but two especially were bloody great goals. Hull, Leicester, wow, man. They're just... They can't get it done. Hull looked quite good, I thought. I watched sort of most of the highlights of that game. They looked really, really good. A little bit unlucky there, but Leicester certainly on the ball. And yeah, Sunderland, like one of our results, really. 2-0 up, then Southampton 2-0 up, 2-2. And then, yeah, that Rothwell looks a reasonable signing. He's a finisher, isn't he, from midfield?
A great ball carrier as well, Dave.
Sorry?
Great ball carrier as well.
Yeah. And really, yeah, on the edge of the playoffs, one of those significant results there. What a result for Stoke at Preston. Where did that come from? The hell did that come from? So, yeah, and as you say, QPR on a massive roll, Middlesbrough. Oh, right, to be fair, though, Middlesbrough turned Norwich over midweek, albeit 10 men.
Dodgy red card in that one, weren't they?
Yeah. Oh, dear, yeah. One of the scorers of one of the goals I was speaking about yesterday. But, as Craig said, the bottom is bonkers, isn't it? I mean, looking at the game there, Blackburn, Plymouth, that result hasn't done either any good. I mean, there's
no
winning at those two. So, yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. But look, I think you sort of harp on about it when we lost before and perhaps had results go slightly against us. I think we'd have all taken where we are now. It's just a
behave.
It's the narrative of the result yesterday. But yeah, let's move on from that and onwards. But yeah, it's going to be 9 games to go. As they say, it's going to be a roller coaster.
Right. Thank you for all your questions. Nice and in there. Let's get some nice pace going, guys. Let's get the ball moving nice and quickly. That's a nice one, Dwayne Johnson single eyebrow there, Craig. I enjoyed that. I'll take the first one. Eric, will Leeds win the league? Ooh, and are we in reality hunting Leicester? There's something in that, isn't there? If you look at the way Leeds are trending, can you really see Leeds doing what Leicester have just done and scoring 4 points in 5 games? He might be right. I can see it happening. Tim, Dave, was it a mistake to take more off?
Look, I think we covered that, but Craig was at the game, so Craig could perhaps see it better than we could on the TV, you know, perhaps. And he's out on his feet. It's look, my point was hindsight, just for the corner. But look, you know, that was in the crikey.
Another 10 minutes after he'd gone off.
Another 10 minutes after he went off. So no doubt he would have gone off by then anyway. So I think if he's out on his feet, he's not going to be an out ball for us. And you're not realistically keeping him on the pitch for his defensive qualities, are you? So, yeah, of course.
Craig, Michael, when will Hurst be available? And can I add to that, will Hurst be available in week 2 of May?
Yeah, will Hurst be available for the first leg of the playoff semi-final against Norwich is what Michael's asking us.
Put it into reality.
Hopefully so. Yeah, well, you know, we're hoping, and I think he was hopeful on one of the, he was a guest, wasn't he, on Sky of one of the very more recent live
West
Sky
Brom,
games.
Yeah.
Said that he was hopeful to be tail end of April, beginning of May. So, you know, may have him for the last.
Would it be magnificent? Norwich, we line up in a semi-final, first leg at Portman Road or at Carrow Road, and he goes 4-4-2 with Hurst and Moore up front then.
do you know what?
Get I've it in asked, there!
I've been asked this quite a lot of times about an Ipswich-Norwich playoff. If it was the final, I would actually consider not going. I just don't think I would enjoy it. I've been to loads of Wembley games. I've been to loads of Ipswich. I genuinely feel sick in my stomach even thinking about a game that doesn't even exist in reality. I just don't want any part of it, Dave.
Well, someone made a very good point, I think, on the chat. Maybe it was a Telegram chat that better that result and the narrative yesterday than an eight. Can you imagine that result in the narrative, similar narrative on April the 6th or whenever? Oh, dearie me.
There's a question about Hurst, though, the Hurst thing there. You asked me a couple of weeks ago, Ben, who's a better player or who would I prefer, Hurst or Moore? Mm. Would Hurst have scored that goal yesterday?
Not off his left foot.
Yeah, but there was a good question, and we'll discuss this as the weeks go on, about the way we're struggling maybe to control the first half of the games now as well. And, you know, it's not unreasonable to start making the conclusions based on who's there and who's not there. Mm. But I will put in the caveat, I love Kiefer Moore and I love George Hurst and I'm happy with whoever's playing. Right, let me just take a couple of these quickly. I think we've covered Leicester there. Are Ipswich as good as Leeds? I think they're as well coached, but Leeds have an infinitely stronger squad and financial position. So I think we all understand that. Dave, just say yes to this. Did we need Alan Hunter at the back for the last 10 minutes?
Warrior, absolutely. He could have played at the back on his own. That would have been absolutely fine. And it's just, well, the ball, to be fair, the ball wouldn't have been the ground. It would have been out of the stand. So, yeah. This multi-ball rubbish would not have suited Alan Hunter at all.
A friend of mine sent one of those Paul Cooper Shoot magazine, you know, favourite actor, favorite pre-match meal, blah, blah, blah. And one of the questions was, your top 11, you know, your best 11. And the only Ipswich player he put in there was Alan Hunter. Mm-hmm. It was all Dalgleish, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And Hunter was the only Ipswich player.
Norman, Craig, if this team could get in a time machine and go back to play Burnley's promotion team, who would win? It's so hard with these questions, isn't it? Because, you know, the way football's moved on, if team A from 10 years in the future can't beat team B, then something's wrong given how things progress. But it's a fun debate. Two great teams, though, Craig.
Yeah, it'd be a good midfield battle, wouldn't it? Morsy and Luongo against Magilton and Holland would be a fair old...
With Magilton and Holland there, I'm afraid.
Magilton versus Morsy. Kick-off night. They can't both having each other by each other's throat.
Johnson, and if you're saying Johnson and Stewart, but Johnson up against Burgess and Wolfenden. Mm. Yeah, I don't know.
With the ball on the deck, though.
With a ball on the deck. Oof.
Jono could beat a man.
Interesting. Yeah, good question. Interesting one, that.
Yeah, there is the Marcus Stewart factor as well.
We'll
win you a game, any game. Trevor, Dave, do you trust our defence under the cosh and sustained pressure? Can I add on to that? We lost away games now at Preston and Diddley Ding Dong Cardiff. Is that the type of team we're playing there, Dave, or is it just difficult teams the top 10 away from home?
I think perhaps it is to a degree. I mean, Preston was just kamikaze stuff, wasn't it? God, there was a couple of goals in there, which is just ridiculous goals. And early on, weren't they? Were 2-0 down in, 8 minutes, weren't we? It was ridiculous. Mm. So I think totally different, really. But no, you've got to say, going by those last 10 minutes, but it wasn't all on the defence. We it was through the team. We just invited the pressure on. So the defence were always going to be up against it.
Khalid, I'm going to answer this on behalf of David Diamond. Should we play 4-4-2? Dave's actually petitioning us to definitely play 4-4-2 with a front two of Amari Hutchinson and Kiefer Moore in the big man, little man partnership.
Well, if you look at Plymouth, it'll be Connor Chaplin flicking it on to Kiefer Moore, wouldn't it?
That's true.
Clinton, Craig, good evening, chaps. Is Taylor a starter against Wednesday? Luongo needs a break. Well, I mean, Luongo's going to get a break after that. Everyone's going to get a break, but it's a fair question.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a good question. But yeah, as I say, he hasn't been good the last couple of games. But then, as I said, you know, if he's anything like fit, as we've seen in the last two games, Kieran McKenna tends to start him. So you would have thought with another week with some vitamin C inside him, then
some
I would have thought Aussie night nurse. I'm sure he'll start on Saturday. Well, I would have thought he'll start if he's anything like fit, because he tends to play when he is.
Is Aussie night nurse? I'm thinking of Ozzy Osbourne's night nurse. That's probably much stronger than standard night nurse. AD, do you think long journeys make a difference to our performance? They do, don't they? When you have to go to Swansea and Plymouth and Cardiff, I know people come out with this argument. Oh, they travel in luxury, the recovery, everything's tracked down. But it does make a difference. Come on, it does, doesn't it?
It must do. It's just, I think we said it last week, it's just incredible how these three away matches have just all come on the bounce. Just mad, really, isn't it? But, I mean, are they, I don't know, are they not flying to some of these? Or
fly down, I think, don't they, definitely?
Yeah, I think they fly down maybe. So, yeah, look, it must do, I suppose. But, you know, these players are so well conditioned, this stuff. It shouldn't really be a massive factor, should it, really? I don't think so.
I suppose it's more a fact that they just have less time during the week to train, don't they? Because of the fact they're travelling
on a Friday.
Thursday or Friday.
What's our biggest banana skin of the remaining games? That would be all of them, little baby dinosaur. This is the championship, isn't it? And you look and you can almost make an argument. Oh, Sheffield Wednesday at home, Ugbo in great form. Oh, Blackburn away, Eustace might low block that and get a draw. Southampton at home, that's going to be about 7-5 to either team the way things are going. Don't even talk to me about Norwich away. Watford at home, okay, maybe not so much. Middlesbrough at home, you don't know what you're going to get. You can win that one 3-0 or lose that one 3-0. Coventry away, you know exactly what you're going to get. It's not banana skin, it would just be hard. Same with Hull away. And then, God, Huddersfield on the last day. I watched Huddersfield today. They might be playing to stay up. And this Brighton right coach has them running around like absolute madmen, and very physical. And you just wouldn't want to be one of those round 46 games where everyone's spending the whole time looking at the phone. You're hearing rumours about everything, and you got Sorba Thomas pinging in set plays to 6'8" Michael Hellick, with he'll probably be on about 15 goals there anyway. Nick asks, who from the Blue Monday pod will be the next Watford manager? I think with his nice face, we have be Mikey, wouldn't it? He looks like a kind of Italian Watford manager. Craig
doesn't live that far away either, does he?
Yeah,
he lives he lives the right side of the M25 probably. So
yeah, we'll have to check the rotor. I think it's Mikey next. Then it's Seb, I think, has got it after that, from memory.
They honestly, they need me in and start playing 4-4-2. But anyway, they'll learn.
Imagine David press conferences knocking out a bit of both every other set. That'd be superb.
Yeah. So what do you think? Either there or thereabouts. Yeah.
Who wants this one? We'll go to Dave. Only go. Two matches in 3 weeks now. Will this help or hinder us? Can I just throw in there, Dave? Every time I've spoken to a football player about this, they always want to play more games rather than less games. So I would go with hinder.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you want to get this. Well, first of all, I know we're going to touch on it in a little while. You want to get that game yesterday out of our system. And I mean, I'm not for it breaks this time of the season. You just want 9 games to go. You just want to bring the games on now, don't you? You know, we've got a clear week this week, so it would have been nice to perhaps even have another clear week and have a game weekend after next. But yeah, I think it's a hindrance too.
I just want. I'm going to go. I'll go with opposite. Point. Actually, I think it's going to be a help just by virtue of resting some bodies 2 weeks off to get that last block of 8 games. We know where we're at then going to the last.
And then George Hurst does the WWE style running, just completely unannounced. His music plays and out he comes, just
Undertaker.
I mean, I guess the only thing about that is then you're into, you're right, probably thinking about it, you're into Good Friday, Easter Monday then, aren't you?
Yeah. You are. I'm just going to put that as not a question. Hull's rearranged games versus Coventry is sandwiched between our games at Coventry and Hull. That sounds very helpful. And just quickly on Southampton as well, obviously there's far more important things than fixture list when you see a building blazing on fire, someone's business
terrible
next to the stadium. But that does not do good things for their fixture list, being their game this Friday got postponed against Leicester. They got the Preston one now to fit in as well. So I tell you what, if Southampton do it and cruise through into second place, they'll have done it against the odds. I remember saying that about us last season. Let's talk quickly about Sheffield Wednesday. David, it feels a little bit weird to talk about the rivalry from last season, given Darren Moore's gone, Cisco was there, Danny Roll, the manager, I think we're all pretty impressed with. I think he's done a really decent job. What I will say about Sheffield Wednesday, they don't draw many games. They are a threat. Ugbo is obviously a hot hand in terms of maybe with Sargent for Norwich and Johnston from West Brom, maybe one of the informed players in the division. It's one of those where I think they either cause us a hell of a lot of trouble or we win. Do you know what I mean? I don't find there's any halfway house. Whereas with Darren Moore, Dave, you know you were getting a battle. Stiff, tight battle, don't you?
Yeah, they weren't very good. I mean, look, I know they're playing. I know it's a context. It's a Yorkshire derby. And I watched that game Friday night. You think, right, Leeds had dropped points previously in the sort of, I suppose, Yorkshire derby at Huddersfield. So you think, bring it on. They were really disappointing, weren't they? Really
they were.
I mean, I know they're playing Leeds.
They were unlucky to concede outside, exactly the same as us. Five
minutes 46 minutes, wasn't it? Literally last kick of the kick of the first half. But other than a really good save from Melier, really quite early on, point blank, hell of a save. That might have been difference, but other than that, they had nothing, did they? I was really, really disappointed with them, really. And you know, Leeds could have won that game 4-5, really, in the end, couldn't they? Look, I know it's Leeds, and you know, when they get moving through the gears, through the midfield, get the ball through the front too, they're really, really good. But I tend to agree with you. This game could go. I've seen some comments there in the chat there that this could be perhaps a 3-0 or as you said, they don't draw that many.
No.
But yeah, looking forward to it. I think I don't think from them. I think you say the narrative changed now. Moore's gone, Sisko's gone. You know, that's moved from last year now. I don't think that exists anymore. I think. Yeah, nice. A nice perhaps game for us to have at home. Yes, they'll be scrapping, but again, it's one we should win.
What are your thoughts, Craig? Let me just have a look and see the teams they've beaten Wednesday. Plymouth, Rotherham, Bristol City, Millwall recently. Have they had a signature win over anyone higher up the table? Birmingham. I'm making myself more confident reading this now. They did win at Preston before the new year, and they beat Hull in that period. Mm. But for the most part, beat Cardiff 4-0, by the way. For the most part, Craig, their recent successes have not been against teams higher up in the table.
No, that's right. And you'd think, as we were talking about earlier when we went through the results about teams down the bottom there who are picking up results, I think, you know, with all due respect, Sheffield Wednesday, you if you were to play any of those teams down the bottom, you know, you might want to pick Birmingham as well, actually, who we've recently played. But I think you'd rather be playing those than, as you say, at this current moment in time, QPR, who are on a bit of a roll, Huddersfield, who are on a bit of a roll, Stoke after yesterday have turned it around a little bit. But there are some teams that are starting to pick up a bit of momentum, and it might be that Sheffield Wednesday aren't one of those. As Dave said, I only picked up a little bit of it from the hotel room I was staying in on Friday night, so couldn't really say too much. But they didn't look like they were particularly impressive in what should have been a pretty, you would have thought, a fiery old atmosphere, and the whole team would have been fired up. Yeah, it looked a bit of a damp squib, yeah.
There we go. Guys, thank you so much for watching. Sometimes, Dave, I'm really pleased we do this 24 hours after the game, because emotions have been running high on social media and in certain forms of communication on my mobile telecommunications device. Dave, it's hard to cope with disappointment at the best of times. And I know you were half joking, but I always claim from covering the championship on YouTube, the most intolerable fans to deal with are ones whose team has risen very, very, very steeply. Those fans tend to really struggle to cope with disappointment. That's kind of us at the moment, isn't it?
We just haven't been used to it. We just haven't been used to it. Just quickly, I did watch bits afterwards of your watch along. Fantastic yesterday, but it was so funny. So it was your reaction versus Rich, who was sort of co-watch along with you, and you you were losing the plot when Cardiff scored, and Rich was going, "Yep, yep, there it is, yep." It was just so funny, but. Yeah, because we've been on such a high, I think it was more of a shock yesterday.
A cruel way to lose.
A shock, really. But look, I think we've got a coach who's wise enough and canny enough to learn from that and make sure similar doesn't happen again. And if we are again in that position, you know, you would think we would have a better semblance of control of the game.
Craig, last word from you, if you can reference bounce back ability in some way, shape or form, that'd be greatly helpful to sign off on this slightly dour disappointment of a Blue Monday podcast today.
I'll give a shout out to the Telegram group, which has been a bit of an oasis of calm, really, subsequent to the match, with, you know, everyone having a decent old chinwag about it and discussing it at length. And apologies, I can't remember if it was Jacob or if it was Oscar, but they pointed out today that that's our 13th, Kieran McKenna's 13th defeat, league defeat in 106 matches. So, you know, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater would be my advice.
Let's not do that. 6 wins on the trot going into this game. Here's to another 6 wins on the trot. I think we would all take that. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. If you're here on YouTube right now, hit the thumbs up. Hit the thumbs up button before you leave. It's probably a good time to leave right now, being as I can't even speak. But we will see you, or rather Rich and Seb will see you on Thursday night. And we will be back bringing in the international break and hopefully, please God, 3 points against Sheffield Wednesday at the weekend. David, thank you. Craig, thank you. Thank you, everybody, for watching. This has been the Blue Monday Podcast.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much-needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nuggets and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.